And welcome to another edition of the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm Dougie Almeida, your host. So glad to be sitting with, via Zoom, two fellow comedians who I love and adore, Mr. Tommy Savitt.
Om Shanti Om.
And James Young.
Mazel Tov. How we doing, man?
Good to see you guys. Haven't seen you guys in a while. And
it's been a minute, brother.
Tommy, you and I last saw each other at the at Dangerfields, which is no longer.
No, it's defunct, kaput, finito. It's over. We were there at its last breath of throws, thrashing throws that it had left. And we were there. We were part of that last. We were there the week in New York before the epidemic broke out the way it did.
Yeah. And let me tell you something. I'm so glad I had that photo.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
You know, when somebody dies, if you have a photo with them, you're like, oh, I really like meeting this comic. It was a great pleasure.
Uh-huh.
You know, when people die, it's going to start doing. I'm going to just start going, it was so glad to meet. Just put the fucking image up.
That's funny. You know, oh, my God.
Because at this moment, I don't think I'm going to meet Dave Chappelle. Dude, I don't remember last time we saw each other, James.
I remember the last time we saw each other.
Okay.
We were actually doing a competition at a theater, the Abbey Theater in Orlando, man. We were both trying to vie for a radio competition. Yeah.
And $5,000.
Yes, and money. Yeah, I forget. You know, I forget to mention money.
I'm really surprised that the money part was left out.
Because I'm an artist, Doug, okay? I do this for the art, not the money.
I was going to say, did you actually get paid? You know, like, oh, still
Some of it.
Like you're working a bad gig, and they're like, well, yeah, we'll send you the money.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not a good sign when the booker doesn't pay you that night.
Yeah, absolutely. That was that was the Monsters comedy contest.
Absolutely. We had a good time.
Yeah. The thing I remember that night, it was a good show. You had a great set, and I figured it was meant to be for you. You were in that radio place, and I just wanted to have a good show. And
gotcha.
One of the judges didn't like my Asian wife jokes. No, she, well,
gotcha.
Remember, she said, I didn't like your Asian jokes. I go, mean my wife jokes?
She's jokes. Really my wife. Yeah, she's really Asian. Yeah.
25 years, a quarter of a century with this woman. I'm not supposed to have a joke about my relationship.
Exactly. Look, I'm going to tell you something. If you're married to a woman for 25 years, whatever nationality she is, that's fair game. You've earned it, sir. That's right.
Now I'm just asking my wife to be gay.
You know what I'm doing? I'm gay now. Like, that's what I'm doing now, Dougie. I'm gay. I'm.
You know, some people suck a dick for $25. I'll do it for a Netflix special.
Right? You ain't lying. I'll do it twice.
Tommy, I'm almost scared to ask you if you would perform oral on a man for a Netflix special. But I actually feel for the first time somebody get punched through a Zoom call. Next possible, somebody fucking
That's funny.
Absolutely. That was a fun time. Contest. You know, listen, it's a contest. You got a guy here, Tommy. It was San Francisco Comedy Festival, Seattle.
Yes.
And yes.
I'm Man of the Year.
Boston and
well, Tommy, your accent's throwing me off. Where are you from?
France.
I'm joking. Okay.
New York Giants helmet.
Where are you from?
Are you from Pittsburgh? Are you from Chicago? Are you in a windy city?
Exactly.
Hilarious. Where we're at. So, you know, great winning those contests, right? I mean, come on.
It's good when you win. But let me tell you, every comic will agree, and Dean Napolitano said this, every time you lose a contest, you lose a little bit of your soul. Yeah. Every single time. It takes something out of you, man.
Yeah. Did you lose many contests, Tommy?
Oh, yeah. Of course. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
But a light opened up, and then they started going on the roll. And
nice.
You know, just I became adept at doing. I'm a good, you know, some people are good test takers. I'm a good contest taker.
Right.
It's a different kind of comedy, right, Tommy?
Yeah. It's different. It's not.
It's different.
Yeah.
It's bang, 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 bang. It's you don't have time. It's so bang, 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 bang.
You got to have the 5 minute. You got to have the 10 minute. You know, the 20 minute. And some are sudden deaths. Some go over 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. So it's one tests your endurance. One's a sprint. You know.
Yep.
It's different styles.
Yep. There's a lot of comics. There's a lot of comics that worry about getting their first 30 minutes, their first hour. But it seems like real professionals have a hard time just getting their solid 5-7 minutes.
Yeah. That's true, and actually, that's the most dangerous part of the competition is the preliminary round for headliners.
Yeah,
because they're not used to boiling down their act to
not at all.
So you see newcomers knocking off like names. It's fun to watch.
Yeah,
yeah.
somebody's got
hilarious.
Somebody's got
because what happens is sometimes. Those newcomers with 5 minutes, they advance, and then when they have to do 20 minutes,
they lose it. They can't do it. They can't swim in deep waters. Yeah.
It's a wipeout. So
it's a true story from the World Series of Comedy at the main event. Yeah, because the first few rounds, 7 minutes, 8 minutes, 10, 11, whatever. But in the finals, you got to do 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Three people do 25, and somebody didn't have it. So what they did was when they finished their act, they finished their 12 minutes or 13 minutes. They did it again.
Wow. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Damn. If you liked it the first time, you're going to really love
it. But, you know, you'd have to replay it. Like, you want to be, if you're a comic and you're stuck in that situation, right? You got to battle. Like you mentioned, you know, losing is, as a fighter, losing, you learn so much when you lose because.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
By the way, let me dispel something. It's no pleasure winning either. Let me explain. The other comics. Let me tell you something, little bitches. Comics who are eliminated in the first round will be the first to bitch that they were robbed. They didn't even make it. They were robbed.
Yeah.
They were robbed.
There's some sore losers in comedy.
Oh,
yeah, terrible. Man.
You know, comedians are terrible human beings. I don't like them. I do comedy, but I'm not part of their ilk. There are some cool cats. Don't get me wrong.
Amen.
Some of my best friends are comedians, but I'm not part of them.
Gotcha.
I'm my own entity.
You took yourself out of the community. You're like, I'm out.
I don't even read the community boards of on Facebook and the group. I'm not interested.
Wow. Gotcha.
Not interested.
Got it.
But no, and then you have the sore loser friends come up to you. Michael should have won. Man.
They're not happy for you, really. You know what I mean? They're the friends. They're not really happy for you.
I don't care. I just got $5,000.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy.
I don't care. Go kiss my ass.
There you go. I'm with you on that one.
That is fun. Yeah, because sometimes you're right. Sometimes you got to, you know, when you win, and it's always those folks that'll be like, oh, you know, how'd that happen? You know, how did that person get to that? You know,
but the ones that are eliminated off the bat are the ones with the biggest mouths. Like, I didn't take your spot. You didn't even make it top five the first night. Mm-hmm. I'm your problem. You had other problems. Well, talent.
Yeah, own up, man. I always said this a million times in the show. One of my mantras when I reached 30 years old was that old saying: "To know oneself is to know God." And to know what I can do, what I can't do. And when I first started doing festivals, I was just there to be there. You know, I wasn't there to win it. I was just there to show. And
it was the experience and the networking.
Yeah. And you realize, oh my God, you, cause so many comics that they're in a certain area, right? The hobbyist is a good label for these type of comics where they never leave their area. Right. And let's say they've been doing it for 10, 15 years, 8, 9 years, whatever the same.
They're professional open micers.
Yeah. And, you know, and then they think they're the shit and they don't realize that, you know, dude, there's a guy in Wisconsin that does your similar. There's also a guy in Texas that does that joke.
You're not special.
Dude, you just don't get it.
Yeah.
But you don't know that unless you're out there, doing all these, you know, national festivals. You know what I mean? So and congrats. Those are some big ones, too. You won, too, by the way, dude.
Congratulations, man. I think the road reveals the truth about a lot of comics when you get on the road and you see different things. You see different audience demographics who aren't your hometown and you can't do hometown jokes. Like, it's different. You have to learn.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't be doing Disney World jokes.
yeah,
Wichita, right? You can't be doing Hialeah jokes in Texas. Yeah. And sometimes you can't do Cuban jokes. Well, you definitely can't tell Puerto Rican joke in Portland.
Yes. They Portland will, what do they call it? Export, import a lot of things, but not Puerto Ricans. So,
No, they don't like anything. Like I did Harvey's one time, a spot there, and I was like, I'm not going to tell this joke. This is such a liberal crowd that, you know, I really have to just be as basic as possible, it seemed. You know, you ever experienced that, Tommy, on the road?
Oh, no. Portland, I used to do Portland a lot, and then slowly became a field of landmines.
Yeah.
Where
everybody got sensitive on you, Tommy.
They get sensitive. I don't mind getting sensitive, but understand the context behind anything
but they're jokes. That's the thing, though.
They're jokes, but they, like Seattle is liberal, but they have intelligence to match it.
Okay.
They come in there, they hear trigger words and they'll get unplussed. That's the difference.
I'm with you.
No context, no subtext. So
they heard the trigger word and they know.
Trigger word.
I'm supposed to be pissed. Where's Yelp? Because I'm about to write a review. This is bullshit. I'm with you on that, Tommy.
Actually, one of my jokes that references the fattest man alive and references the wall and Mexico, basically, in the show, because they're truths of the joke.
Yeah.
Ended up the punchline changed because of Portland, because I basically said, you know, the people, that those trigger words, the minute you say he's from Mexico, the minute you say wall, you know, everybody just stops, doesn't listen to another word. They presume.
Yes.
And they finish any thought that you would think. Like people, you know, the world is so diverse. It amazes me that our society now is so in tune with the ability to know what you're thinking and why you said
something. Or what you should think.
Right. Well, that's even worse.
Yeah.
I love when people do that. They say, well, you said this, so that means you – no.
No. I hate the false equivalencies. Well, if you say this, it must mean that. No, I don't mean that. That's what you're interpreting when I do a joke.
Your comprehension ability is fucking horrible, lady.
Yeah. yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
That, by the way, that'd be a funny retort on stage. Yeah. That'd be a funny retort.
Your comprehension ability is fucking horrible.
I mean, that's you don't hear that as a comeback.
No, not often. That'd be not funny. Often. How many times were you held back, man? No, I'm just asking. Ballpark.
You asking him?
No, I'm just...
He's an actor, this guy. Hey, listen, speaking of pain, I shared with you guys that a few days ago I pulled my groin muscle, which is, if you know that the groin area muscle is a stabilizer muscle that basically goes in between your balls, right? They're down the inside of your leg and laps up into your like hip flexor, you know, so when you cough, it hurts. Dude, I was stretching. I was doing like my old, you know, I was getting back to my Taekwondo days and trying to put my V split. I was actually between two chairs like Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I would pay good money to see that.
I'm not that old. It didn't hurt. I went away my day, but we went to Daytona. By that time, I'm walking up to that stage in Daytona, which you can launch an airplane in.
Yeah, it's a hangar, pretty much.
A big room. It looks like it's a bomb shelter for a Garmageddon. You can and I'm walking to it, and I'm all right. And then by the time I drove to Savannah the next day, I was crippled. I couldn't get out of bed. I'm like, ha ha ha. I created new words. Like every time I tried to go to the bathroom or, you know, sit down on the toilet, I'm like, ba 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 ba. The pain. It was.
There's certain injuries that you have that you don't want to be far from home. And I think pulling your groin is at the top of that list.
Dude. And you know, of course, one guy, let me help you with my merch. I'm walking up steps in Savannah. Let me help you with that. I said, I'm all right. You know, but I'm a man. I'm not a person. But unbelievable, dude. And then when I go to the rest stop on the way home, 7 to 8 hour drive to Savannah, I'm stopping at guest spots and getting out of the car like, I mean, everybody thinks I got a pound of gold up my ass. I'm trying to hide. I'm like a cocaine mule bringing stuff into the country. It's embarrassing, dude. What's the brother?
I feel for you as a man. I feel for you. Now, I'm sorry,
James. You just got off COVID and a severe case.
Yeah.
You didn't have the case I had where I just lost my sense of smell.
I wish. I've read everywhere what guys I know have it. They're like, man, it was easy. It was 2 days. I slept. I couldn't taste. I couldn't smell, and I was fine, brother. It knocked me on my ass, brother. I felt like dying.
Were you hospitalized, or just staying home? And
thank God, no. It what they put me on was a what's the stuff that people take with asthma? Albuterol.
Yeah.
Then same inhaler that they use, and what do you call it? A prescription cough medicine. And that's what I was taking the whole time. It was bad for 12 days straight. Oh. Every part of my body, like, cause you're tired, you want to sleep, right? But every part of my body that would touch anything like a bed, a couch, a chair, just was throbbing in pain. So I couldn't get comfortable. I couldn't rest. I couldn't eat anything. Now, you know, I'm sick. Cause you know me, I like to eat, Dougie. I didn't eat for 2 weeks.
Stop eating? Holy shit.
Yes. I lost like 15, almost 20 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how you know James is sick. If I'm not eating, call somebody. Yeah. Something's
James,
going on.
James, how long did it last, your symptoms?
About 12 days, man, honestly. It let up after 12 days, just starting to feel a little normal. Yeah, man, it was bad. It was really bad.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you pulled through, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it. But I was going to say, Dougie, speaking of growing pains, the closest thing I've had to a growing injury is I volunteered for a vasectomy.
Oh, really?
Brother, I had a vasectomy after my third kid.
All right.
Well, and I have four kids.
Wow.
Yes. Oh, yeah. True story. Yeah.
You are a viral man. I mean, like, dude, you don't got swimmers. You got, you know what I'm saying? This guy's got like Greg Louganis.
Brother,
Greg Louganis sperm. They don't just go in. Going straight.
That's right. They go hard in the paint. Well, what happened was this. We had three kids, and brother, I was young, working two jobs. I was like, there's no way I can keep having kids, because I had a kid every year for 3 years. Yeah, so I was on my way. Tommy, I was on my way. So I said, baby, I'm going to get a vasectomy. So you go get the vasectomy. And for any guy who's never had it or thought about it, here's the experience. All right. It's an outpatient surgery to have a man work on your groin. Which first off sounds wrong. Like, it needs to be a hospital stay. Yeah. It needs to be a whole team, like, in your head. But you go in there, they give you three shots to numb you in each testicle. So there's a total of six shots in your testicle.
You get a shot to numb you from the shot in your testicle?
No. Well, they give you a Jim Beam. Yeah. That's the shot they give you. So when you get the shot, it's numb. The doctor talks to you the whole time because he's a dude. And he's doing his work, but he wants to talk. So he's like talking to me about the game. He's talking about me about everything. And you start to feel tugging. You start to feel pressure. And then you smell burning as he's cauterizing your junk, essentially, man. So all this takes all of 15 minutes. And then they tell you to get up and walk away.
Oh, yeah.
Doc, for what we just shared, for what you just did, we're going to hug. We're going to cuddle. And I want to be Big Spoon. Like, I'm not getting up and just walking out of here after 15 minutes of that.
You better have a heated waterbed ready with a big
something. Yeah. So long story short, I go home. I got the frozen peas. And my wife's looking at me like, baby, are you okay? I'm like, I'm fine. She goes, are you sure? I'm like, yeah, baby, I'm good. She goes, well, you know what? I don't feel right. I'm like, oh, are you okay? I'm like, you all right? She goes, man, I feel weird. I'm like, you know. Weird how? It's like funny. Like, I feel like how I normally feel when I'm pregnant. So I immediately start laughing. Like, there is no way that my God has a sense of humor like that. There's no way. Like, no, you can't be pregnant. I know you're not. I just had a vasectomy. No, no way. So my wife's like, I'm going to get a pregnancy test. So she bought two, in fact. Took the pregnancy test. My wife was already pregnant, we found out, 2 weeks.
Yeah, you should sue.
Two weeks.
You sure sue your urologist for malpractice?
Brother, I look at my youngest. His name is Isaiah. I look at him all the time when he's acting up. I'm like, you know, 2 weeks. 2 weeks and you wouldn't have walked this earth. 2 weeks.
Yeah. Can you imagine? That's like the gates closing, you know? It's like,
yeah, yeah, you make it through.
Like the last chopper out of Saigon.
You're 2 weeks. I nickname him Fortnite.
Tommy, you got a painful experience you'd like to help?
Here's the thing, Doug. I'm a smart guy. I never did any activities that would harm myself.
Yeah.
I never put myself willingly in. I to show you the extent of my religiosity in regard to that, I play, the only sport I played was dodgeball because I could evade being hit.
There you go.
And I would win. I would actually be the remaining guy because I would just dodge. I got, God willing, never broke anything.
Oh, you're lucky. Knock on wood. God bless.
Never pulled anything. I never put myself in the position to lose. So stay away from. So kids, stay away from sports. Well,
that's great advice. Kids, stay in the house. Play video games. Don't go outside.
No, yeah, even that's dangerous. You can get arthritis or carpal tunnel syndrome or whatever. They got issues with the you play the games. No, don't do anything.
Sit in the corner. Look at it. Don't do anything.
Pour a drink. Pour a drink. Good exercise.
I never realized that Tommy Savitt competed in ultra-competitive dodgeball.
I was good. I was no joke, man. And by the way, I was not a good striker. That wasn't my forte. I was an evader, and I would always survive.
There you go.
And that's when dodgeball wasn't banned, Doug.
That's true.
This woke supremacy going around.
Yeah.
It's true.
Woke supremacists.
guys, here's one of the topics that, you know, we are in the holiday season. Do you guys have some family traditions that you must adhere to? I just completely stopped decorating the house.
Bro, like, at some age, we're like, I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah.
I don't want to go through the work. I don't want to pull out a tree. I don't want to put ornaments on it. Then I got to take it all back down again. No, I'm with you, Doug. I'm good. I'm not doing it.
I'm not going to put gutters up and then take them down.
Down.
You know. And getting on a ladder. Listen, I don't get on a ladder. I don't get on a pogo stick. Okay. I don't get on a man's cock. Those are things I don't get on.
Okay, all right. The last one's negotiable. But yeah, I'm with you.
That's ecstasy somebody has.
Here's my tradition, Doug. I pay for all the shit.
Yeah.
That's what we get. Yeah.
That's a good tradition. Stick to it.
Yeah. I have. It's worked. Knock on wood.
Tommy, a religiosity of the holidays makes me think you have some sort of tradition.
Dude, I celebrate myself.
Okay.
I celebrate myself. You know, I may pick a Palm of David to say in the morning, you know, I'll flip through a little bit and then have a little eggnog and then maybe light a menorah. Maybe.
I like how that's a maybe. Maybe light a menorah.
Light a menorah. You know?
That's beautiful.
Some side action dreidel hustle.
There you go.
You know?
Of dreidel hustle. I didn't know the hustle game for dreidel to fight that. I didn't know, Tommy.
I'm a religious man, man.
I see that. I see that, man.
Yeah. You know, Christmas was bad. I was one of those kids who never was surprised. You know what I mean? I always knew, like, I would pick stuff up out of the Sears catalog that I wanted.
Oh, it was like that for you guys?
I think it stopped when my mom was trying to do it. She bought me, like, a Barbie doll. And I think I should take care of the gift list.
Your mom was very progressive.
Yeah, my mom.
Yes.
My mom had four boys. She wanted a daughter. I was the fourth.
You're going to be a daughter no matter what.
And why'd she pick why Barbie over Ken?
Well, that's the thing. You know, she was buying me dress. Like, Mom, I don't think this.
But, Doug, I've seen your legs. You got good legs.
I did win Mr. Legs, best legs in high school.
I remember that.
But now in my groin, they look a little old.
My groin's not the same.
It's all tortured up. Well, that's good. What is your worst memory of Christmas past?
Oh, the worst memory. Oh, that's a. What's my worst memory of Christmas? That's a hard one because I will say growing up wasn't a rich kid by any means, but we've always had really good Christmases though, man.
Always something big, right? It wasn't like it was to me. It was exciting, even though I knew it was on.
I know those
wrapped in it. It was like now I got to play with it. I would go in my mom's closet and look at all the toys in there and stuff like, oh, and You know, like the first video games you got, you're looking at the pictures of the games you could play. Like, oh, yes. I can't wait to play this. And of course, my mother said, get out of the closet. Anyways,
yeah. Now, let me ask you a question, though. What was the rules for you guys on Christmas Day? Like, could you wake up and just open the presents? Or was it a rule like my house? I had to wait for mom to get up, put on her robe, and the minute she sat on the couch, let the games begin. Was it like that for you?
Tommy?
Well, I just want to say this, and I think you guys will concur. I had to think about this question that you lobbed at me. My worst Christmas past is every Christmas I've been on the road in Canada, Saskatchewan, North Dakota. I don't have to picture. I don't have to paint the picture for you fellas.
Yeah.
Driving in blizzards, and you got to collect that shekels and going to, you know, and then there's no gas station and then you can't, there's no visibility. And you don't have snow tires on from the rental car.
Mm. Yeah, and you're lucky you got an ice scraper.
Right, and you're slipping and sliding. Everyone's beeping you, and you feel this is your last Christmas.
Well, that definitely takes the cake. I remember my last time I dealt with snow was in Colorado Springs, and there was a sheath of ice over the car, the rental car, and of course I'm trying to scrape it. Being a Floridian, I was born in New York, but I didn't drive when I was five when I left.
Yeah.
So I never had to worry about scraping the window. So I'm thinking, what am I going to do? It's going to take me a year to scrape this ice off this windshield. And, you know, and then I'm like, oh, maybe I should go into the lobby and get some of that hot water with a coffee maker.
Ooh.
But one of those TV shows popped into my head. I'm like, no, I don't think that's a good idea.
No.
And then I remember, oh, yeah, just turn the car on and put the defrosters on.
Yeah. Genius. Why don't you let technology work for you?
Yeah, why don't you just use your head, dumbass? That's funny. Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook, we mentioned that I got kicked off Twitter. But Mark Zuckerberg's taking a lot of heat. You were on Facebook. Our fan page is on Facebook at the moment. I with this political nonsense, I've blocked on and lost several people. I would say there's been a divide, and I'm actually at the point now with a lot of people, it seems, are going off their personal pages for those of us who are in the profession and just using a fan page. Mm-hmm. I started looking at my friends and going, these are comics from all parts of the country. I don't even know who they are. I should just get rid of them all. Right. I mean, that's a first move. If you don't know me, I'm going to get rid of it.
Yeah. Especially if everything I post, you argue with me about. Yeah. If I wanted to argue, I could go talk to my wife. Like, no, this is not what this is for, man.
Yeah. I don't think that's something you tolerate, Tommy. You're not somebody who gets into that dischantening.
I don't get involved. I don't get involved. You're smart. First of all, whatever your opinion is, you're not convincing anyone. Whether it's the political divide, whether it's masks, whether it's COVID, your philosophies. Everyone's a medical expert, by the way. It just happened in October. No, this March. Everyone's an expert on every field. So I don't bother. You know, we're here. We're not going to make a difference. You're not going to change anyone's mind. You're only going to speak to the choir. I'm just here to entertain like you fellas. Let's just bring levity into the world. And that's it, man. I don't get involved. I don't get involved. By the way, it doesn't serve you. Unless that's what you do. If that's your brand, then go for it.
But exactly. If it's not, you're alienating people
for what?
Yeah.
What you just said is something my mentor said, but it serves you. There's nothing about that serves your purpose. Here's with that being said, do you guys see Facebook will still be around in a few years, 3-4 years?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So? Yeah. Yeah, I do. I do. It's become a machine it's become a machine that keeps getting fed by new people coming in.
But the demographics are older.
Yes. And that's what it is.
It's not young. So when Dougie says he's going to be around, you have to think. The age is older, you know, they die off and the kids have left it.
I will say right now, I think it's 38 and up using it. So it still will be around.
So when he says it's going to be around, but how long? Yeah. How long?
Did you say 3 or 5 years, Dougie? Or did you just say if it's going to be
3 or 5 years? Yeah. I mean, ultimately, everything will be gone eventually.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know,
May 3 to 5 years, yes.
All right.
But after that, I would be very interested to see what happens.
Yeah. Well, everybody's going to Parler.
I've gotten the messages.
But I think we'll be backing away from the social media aspect, you know, like obviously how I feel about Twitter, and YouTube is getting a lot of pressure of, you know, stifling free speech.
Yes.
Being overly critical on certain themes and not on others. And
by the way, like I don't even want to invest much in Facebook because like I've been banned, like my I've been restricted 4 times in a row for my, I do comedic memes, nothing. Yeah. It's nothing. And I've overturned it 4 times in a row. What is why am I being restricted? Sorry. Yeah. But so it's just ridiculous to be targeted. I don't know what's triggering it, but it's very annoying. So why they want me to invest, because I qualify to get their whatever program that
their business
have.
Business
and authentication program.
Yeah.
Why would I do it when you are censoring me? They're restricting my ads, my comedic memes, which I'm not making anything off of.
Yeah.
And then I'm constantly having to appeal it and overturn it. Yes, I'm successful, but this is annoying.
Yeah. It's a necessary level. That happens when I put these little clips out sometimes, just a clip from the show, pick out 30 to a minute and a half of a clip, and it says something on it, politics or Trump or any name is in the title of whatever I put. They say, no, you can't use it. It's politically. I'm like, it's not. It's a joke. It's a joke about something completely different. And then, like you said, then they're like, all right, well, they roll it out. You know, but meanwhile,
as comedians, any censorship should scare you.
Yeah, it's
as a comedian, it should annoy you.
Yeah.
And by the way, fellas, you have no. I don't know. Like in Canada, they don't have freedom of speech. The comics have been fined, been threatened with imprisonment for offending audience members.
Wow.
I'm just letting you know.
Wow.
I'm just letting you know there's no. Like I know. A club owner, and I don't know them personally, a club owner and another comedian got sued for $50,000 in Vancouver. And there's another incident where someone made fun of someone else. And he's appealing and all that stuff. So that's Canada.
Wow.
Friendly, safe Canada.
Gotcha. It ain't sweet like syrup. Oh, wow.
That's nuts, dude. I was thinking about different gifts and holiday gifts and stuff. I was thinking about overthinking it or getting too big. Like big screen TVs are like a great, like, you know, for you, like my gift with my wife and I now, it's not like we're going to go buy something because the minute I buy it on the credit card, she sees.
Yeah, you can't surprise your significant other when we're both on the account.
Well, let's not play games. So, you know, we just basically will go shopping a couple days after. But like for me, I said, you know what? I need a new laptop. So that's the Christmas budget. I'm going to get a new laptop. And then I don't know if she wanted new boobs. No, that was
you. That was. I'm with you, Dougie.
I need a lift.
Yes.
I don't need new ones. I just need a lift.
I just want a lift. You know.
I want.
Gotcha.
but I remember the days like. I remember the one time I went to my brother's house and I just got a new big screen TV. Hey, you got to see it, you know, and you go to his house and it was when the days when there were those boxes, you know, like
I remember.
And he had this little apartment, basically the fucking TV
took up everything.
You couldn't even put the couch up. You couldn't even put the couch up. And then, you know what I mean? I'm like, I think it's a little too big for the house. And I'm like, it reminded me of the days I got my first waterbed. I lived at home with my mom, and I bought that queen size waterbed, and you couldn't walk in my room.
No. I remember. They were monstrous, man. But I'm all for big TVs, though. Doug, I'm that guy. I am that obnoxious guy. If they can make a TV as big as my house, I'd buy it. Yeah. Dude, I'm so into big TVs, man. I want one so bad.
Yeah? What's your size in the house now?
Well, like my wife says, size doesn't matter. But if, because you got to say that with guys with TVs, man, because we take it seriously. Right now it's 55 inch, and I want a 75.
Yeah, because I think 60 or 65. Because we recently, a couple years ago.
See, that's nice. That's beautiful, man.
Yeah, it's a joy. Sometimes I catch myself in the bedroom where we got a 45, and I'm like, meanwhile, 5-8 years ago, I was looking at this little 13 inch.
And that was the big, like, wow, 32.
If you're looking at a 13 inch TV across the room, it's almost like you might as well have your cell phone right in front of you. Same dimensional look. Like, I started thinking about it. Like, if, you know, this phone looks like across the room, like that fucking TV. And that's going to be the new thing. Instead of having a TV on the wall, you're going to put this big screen in front of you, and you're going to be like,
yeah, one that just levitates in front of your face. I'm all for that.
Big screen TV, Tommy? Are you a big screen TV guy?
No, I don't care, dude. I watch TV on my laptop. I cut the cord. I use Sling. I got Sling TV.
Even as a sports fan, you don't care?
Red zone. I got red zone. That's the crack. This is a friendly message to all your viewers out there. You will give up football watching a regular game when you have red zone. It's the crack. It's crack. Every score as it happens, all the games. Sometimes they show four games on the screen. Wow. Why would I go? But you can't go back.
You can't go back after that, Tommy.
You can't go back. You can't go back to no, man. You got it's crack, man.
So that's like that is almost like if somebody who likes porn gets the compilation porn.
Yes. Yes. with the 3D binoculars, whatever those are called.
Wow.
You can't leave. I don't even take bathroom breaks because they don't take one.
I love it. I love it, man.
It's not. It's 7 hours of orgasm.
Jesus, man.
So that's basically right. You're right. There's like a bunch. I've seen that before where they just show you all these games going on. Oh, now look, the Buffalo Bills are attacking and boom, it's a touchdown. Oh, let's go over to Pittsburgh now and boom.
Wow. That's a lot. That's a lot of sports.
Oh, my God. As it's going on and every play, and it's just great. You don't have to waste your time. And I tell you, like, it's that good that I could swear off women.
Wow. That's
wow. Man,
unfortunately, it's just one day. It's only one day. So
I've seen some damn good games in my day. I've witnessed some history, but I've never seen a game better than some ass. I'm sorry. I don't, Tommy. Maybe I'm not experiencing it like you.
Yeah. Okay, do me a favor, James.
Yeah,
watch Red Zone on this Sunday, and then get back to me.
Gotcha.
Talk to me.
I will. I definitely will do that, Tommy.
I'm being so excited to masturbate so much, his wife is going to get pregnant again.
Again?
Yeah. Shoot one by. He's going to be so excited. He's going to shoot one like Gretzky past fucking the floor.
There you go.
I don't even know if LaFleur was a goalkeeper. He probably wasn't. Anyway, that's awesome. By the way, guys, it's time for the news is a joke.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. The news is a joke, everybody. And here's what we do. Basically, we're going to come up with stories. These are real stories, and we're going to have some fun with it one way or the other. How's that sound?
Sounds good to me.
You think that'll work?
I think it's going to work.
All right. Very good. Let's do it. All right. So our first story, this is interesting because it's amazing. A woman dies. We talk about being on the phone and shit. A woman dies after dropping her cell phone into the bathtub with her. You know, she's probably in the tub. How many likes did I get? You know, I can take another picture. You know,
Dougie, if you die while charging your phone in a bathtub, that's not death. That's natural selection.
Yeah,
it's not. Oh, wow.
Tommy, it's time. Wow. You're taking up oxygen someone else could be using.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So explain this to me.
Yeah.
So is she in the bathroom? Is she in the bathtub?
A Russian woman has died after getting electrocuted by her iPhone when she dropped it in the bath. Aleska Semenova, 24, was found dead in her flat at the house they shared in Arkansas, Russia, after she got a massive electric shot with the bath.
It was Russia, so it's like an iPhone 2.
Yeah.
What's it? I'm a horrible human being.
She allegedly had her phone plugged in and charging at the time. So,
are you crazy? Like,
it probably was just a natural reaction. Drop on, you're not thinking.
Well, we know that the electrical system in Russia is sketchy.
Is it worth it to try to charge your phone in the bath, man?
Maybe wait till after the bath. That's a common sense, right? That's a rational man theory thought. You know, I've been taking these hot baths with Epsom salt because of my groin.
Yes.
So I have my phone's like, my wife's like, don't put the phone next to you. I go, honey, it's not plugged in. That's from Russia.
Exactly. Jesus.
But I could see it happening where I'm going to grab it and oop, you know, and I don't think if the phone went into the tub with me, it has the energy that can shock
electrocute you. No. Your battery's not that good. I don't care what phone you have.
Yeah. Damn thing dies after 20 minutes.
Amen. Amen.
The fucking battery can't stay alive for more than 3 hours, but it killed me. In the bathtub.
Oh,
this is a great story. Chinese iron crotch. Kung Fu master fight to preserve a painful looking tradition. It is known that Chinese monks have a iron crotch mentality. And you've seen these where the guy's sitting there hitting him with a stick and the balls. They're hitting him with, they're kicking him, just nonstop kicking him, which is in China how they have vasectomies, by the way.
It's called wu-pow.
Yeah.
you could see that for $5 on the Vegas Strip. You could actually pay the guys. This guy's there professionally taking kicks to the crotch.
Yeah.
Yeah, $5, man.
Have you ever kicked a guy in the crotch in Vegas?
I didn't do it. Listen, you know.
It was off strip.
It's like this. It's like this in Vegas. You know, you see everything. So you go full circle. Yeah. It's like Charlie Sheen. You know, Charlie Sheen was with models galore. And then he talks about it in his book. And that he got so sick of the gorgeous hot models. Yeah. He would go with his buddies to Mexico and try to pick up a hooker walking down the street with a Caesarean section. So that's how particular you got to get for your entertainment to get it back up again, because you've been to Apex, and that's what you got to get going. So when you're in Vegas, and I lived in Vegas for several years, that's what it's resorted to me, watching guys get kicked in the ball.
Gotcha. That's when you've done everything on the street.
Yeah, it's when you've done everything.
Yeah.
And by the way,
I'm not impressed with the monks. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
I got some cowboys on the strip right now.
Cowboys. I love it.
We have the real American ninja here today.
Yeah.
On the strip. By the way, if you want a stripper with such an affliction, where she's getting a C-section done, Mexico.
That's the hot spot. That's where they go.
That's where you go for that type of
Absolutely.
In Jiantun, China, Wang Lutiao is no ordinary kung fu master. 65-year-old man. Well, no wonder he doesn't use his balls anymore.
No, he doesn't need them.
Yeah. We wrote a skit one time, me, Perry Sack, and Lenny Travis, where we were doing that. Lenny was, because he's bald, he was the guru, and we were kicking him in the balls. And then we would go through the training, you know, dropping sandbags on our balls. Oh, you know, going through all the pain and shit. And then we go to the end. It's like, you know, master, how do you sustain all this pain? He goes, easy. I wear a cup.
All right.
There's actually, I think if I was going to take my kids, or if I had kids, if I was going to go to a martial arts school, I think I would. You know, when I go on there, say our secret is we learn how to get kicked in nuts. Yeah, no pain.
Yeah, that'd be my kid's last day. Like, we're good. We're gonna go down the street, and he's gonna take up something else.
we have a harder time retaining a student. They come a first class,
and that's it. Yeah, they're done.
No come back.
Yeah.
We lose all our geese. They take the gi.
Yeah.
Come back with the gi. Now, speaking of China, China recommends flight attendants to wear diapers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why is that?
So that they can avoid infection by using the bathroom on the plane.
What? Okay. wait a minute, let me dissect that. They want the flight attendants to wear diapers so they don't get infection from a toilet seat.
Yeah.
What about the passengers? Are they not supposed to use that seat either?
Who gives a shit? Those are the filthy, those are the filthy bastards that are paying the money. We're talking about China here. You know what I'm saying? We're not talking about, you know, we don't give a shit about the people.
That is hilarious.
There's a billion of people in China. There's
gotcha.
Plenty can go. We don't give a fuck.
China suggests that its pilots wear parachutes. And
if autopilot don't work, just be eject.
That's hilarious, man.
I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could deal. Somebody asked me if I shit myself. I haven't, but I pissed myself. Like, in other words, I'm trying to hold my piss so bad that I couldn't, and then it starts like coming out like a leak. Like, oh, and it squeaks. Oh, next thing you know, you're sitting there with a little bit of, you know,
little leakage. I mean, I've never shit myself, but I've had that gopher head. Like it woo, it was, it peered out, yeah. But then it went back in. Yeah.
Oh, good for him. Yeah.
I could never do that job wearing a diaper. You know, all that. I couldn't handle any more irritation than my crotch already deals with naturally.
I know. That's the thing. I don't know.
You know the exacerbation of all your gunk and you're infecting yourself.
Yeah.
Like I could have that I wouldn't be able to do
yeah.
it.
I definitely could not take a dump in a diaper now.
Oh,
I would much rather just wherever I'm at, if I'm outside, I would say I don't care. I'm just dropping my drawers and shit on somebody's lawn. I would not shit my pants.
I'm going with that.
And what about the aroma with the diaper? Oh. You're walking around with that aroma.
That's no medication and erectile dysfunction drug together.
That's a win-win, isn't it?
I think so. I think you just cured depression for some people. That's our hard on. What am I?
Man, if I was depressed and I took this medication, now I feel better and I'm horny. Like, come on, man.
Well, let's face it. If somebody's depressed, they're probably aside from dealing with the serious effects of it and cause of depressions, but they're not really like bringing down the trim. You know, somebody's doesn't go to the yeah. clinic. So there it is probably makes it worse, right? You think now I got a hard on, and now the fact that nobody wants to fuck me is very
it could backfire.
Yeah, it's like having a Ferrari.
That's not necessarily true. No one would want to bang you. You have a hard on, and I feel hard ons are the major cause of depressions. Look at the repercussions. Look, James can tell you could have many children.
You can. Yeah. Four years in a row.
Yeah. Right? It's not all joy. It's not all joy. I'm sure James will tell you it's not all joy.
No.
He has
no,
some sad moments.
There was some crying. There was a lot of crying, and I'm talking about me, not them. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, man. So yeah.
I would say erections are the cause.
They are. Of they are, man. Oh, made my life hard.
Yeah, made your life hard.
I got it. I wish I had the sound effect now.
Yes.
That drum roll is awesome. This is a great story. Pharmaceutical distributors, Avcare, is voluntarily recalling 100 milligrams of Slefl tablets and 100 milligram Trazodone tablets due to the production mix-up. Oopsie.
I bet their stock went up 1 week like 10,000.
Yeah, their stock was up for 4 hours. And then it
Yes.
We can move on to the next story. Our next story, breakdancing.
Okay.
You ever breakdance, James?
Of course. It was the law in the 80s. If you were black, you had to breakdance.
I mean, I moonwalked. I did I was really good at the fucking.
Yeah, thing. Man. I bet you were. Yeah, I'm saying.
I was a big Prince. So I loved it. And I would do the thing where you put your arm on the ground, you'd spin your body. I could do that.
Oh, yeah. I remember that, man. That was a good one.
I can almost do the kicks where you're doing the windmill kicks. I can almost do
yes.
only one or two. I can never keep going.
Keep going. Got it.
I'm no gymnast. Breakdancing gets Olympic status to debut in Paris in 2024.
Gotcha. Was this something they've been mulling over for the last, 35 years? Like, Was this a hot topic?
Okay, and from our hidden file, archive file, breakdancing is not coming.
We got to get rid of something. What's going? Water polo. We're getting rid of it.
Yeah. Well, we did turn down the hula contest.
Damn.
No more hula hoop or a hopscotch for the Olympics, but we're going to go with breakdancing.
Gotcha.
Breakdancing became an official Olympic sport on Monday. The International Olympic Committee's pursuit of urban events to lure a younger audience.
That's another trigger word. You said urban.
I know. And, you know, and here's the thing. They're saying they want to lure the younger audience. The last people who breakdance are like in their 50s now. 50. Kind of fucking, you know.
If you want to get younger people to watch the Olympics, you should have a WAP contest.
The wettest ass pussy. Have a moisture meter. You know, have a guy with a surfboard. Have a guy with a ShamWow.
A ShamWow.
Yeah, it's a street dance battle is officially added to the medal events program in the 2024.
This it would be WAP competition's been brought to you by Swiffer.
and Easy Flow Plumbing. Three sports will make their also confirmed in the Paris IOC Executive Board were skateboarding. Thought it was sport climbing. What does that mean? You're gonna climb a football?
Yeah, I love it.
You're gonna climb over a tennis net.
You gotta climb a scoreboard.
Yeah, you gotta climb the bleachers. You gotta climb the bleachers. You gotta go up RFK and back.
That's hilarious.
Alongside the additions, let's see. The slate of 239 medal events in Paris is 10 fewer than Tokyo, including 4 lost from weightlifting and the athlete quota in 2024. Let's see, in less than next year. Yeah, there's some sports, you know, like the winter sports. Do we really want to see curling? You know, do we really want to, you know?
It became a hot thing, though. Yeah. How crazy was that? People were, like, into it.
And there's those people that go to the bars and play that curling game with the sand and that long board. You ever see that in bars? Anyway.
Why isn't air hockey in the Olympics?
That's
my good at. I'm good at
Wow. That. I'm with you on that, Tom.
I was scouted.
I believe it.
I was scouted. I turned down a contract.
I was this close to a scholarship.
I was playing in Coney Island. Yeah. I was kicking everyone's ass.
Yes.
I had my own. I had what was known as the triangle defense. I coined the triangle defense. So when you put the puck in the yes, you got it, yeah. Dougie. You got yeah. it. You understand that it drives your opponents to madness.
Yeah.
And then I was scouted, and they wanted to recruit me in Texas in a tournament, and I turned it down. Because don't do sports.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. That's right. It's a trap.
You need surgery.
An air hockey.
Carpal tunnel. You got a lot of nerve damage.
Uh-huh. I was going to say you didn't take the air
hockey. Lock in the eye.
You're too busy getting your dodgeball.
True.
You weren't a bipolar sport? Bipolar.
Dodgeball is a non-contact sport if you don't get hit.
Yeah.
The pucks. How many times is an errant puck hitting your body? Damage. True.
Yeah.
Those pucks never stay on the table.
Yeah, they don't stay on the table. And even the coaster doesn't stay on the table.
That's true.
Get hit by that? My God.
They are never on the table, matter of fact, based on until the game is off.
I showed no mercy on that table, I tell you.
Gotcha.
I don't care if you were a woman, a girl, a little boy. I took it seriously and I humiliated you.
It's the only way to do it, man. There's no reason to lay back. Like when
that was my pride.
You know, like when you play, like I think foosball should be an Olympic sport, right?
I agree with you. Right, absolutely. Cool. That's a skill.
Yeah, and not two people playing at the same time. I think it's
four.
One person.
Four.
Wow.
On the same team?
No, two against two.
All right. So that's like tennis. You have singles and you have doubles.
Yes, I like that.
Yes.
Bring it up.
We can bring it. Taking drug ecstasy appears to help solve marital problems, scientists discover. And I bet that the scientists discovered that after taking ecstasy with their wives.
Yes.
Spouses for a few months. You ever take ecstasy, James?
I was one of those guys. Only thing I really drug I ever did was weed. But okay. I had friends who were on X, and brother, they looked like when they would take it, we would hang out. They looked like they were having a time of their lives just touching a rug. Like didn't need anything else but just that rug because they would just be just enthralled with it. And they look like.
My question is, when is the last time?
Dougie, I don't do drugs. I do women on drugs.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. All right. I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah, so you're like a middleman. You don't do them. You just
osmosis.
Gotcha. By the way, the pill does count as a drug. So, well, the woman's on that. Yeah,
I could tell you I have, and I was probably the one feeling the rug.
Dougie? Is it that good? Really, yeah. Really?
Yeah, I. It's really great when you're with a woman for the first time. It's done it. And they're like, oh my God, I love you. I'm like, just calm down. It's ecstasy.
oh, man. You're going to make me go out and do something bad, Dougie.
Taking the drug ecstasy with a partner can be useful, helping couples solve problems affecting their marriage because they want to fuck again.
Yes.
You know, I mean, how long? If you're married a long time, you see your wife, like, you know. But now, when you see her,
oh yeah, you feel it. You're like
that, or the family pet's gonna get a beating.
Yo,
you hate this. That's by the way, that's part of the study here. Doctors also found out that couples that had no hope, it was not good for the family pet.
No, it was not.
Rover took it in the ass.
Oh,
Rover. All right, now this is a great story. I love karma. You like karma?
I love
it. I like when bad people get shit handed back.
So do I. So do I.
And they get caught, right? Something like that. But a porch pirate steals a bait box filled with cat poop.
Perfect.
Right?
Perfect.
Now, here's what I think you may spoil. Cat poop, I would just want to take a poop. Like, in other words, that would be the one time that I would shit in a diaper. And then, right, a big one. Like, you know, a whole Taco Bell, eat some stew.
Yeah,
have some jalapenos, grilled cheese, grilled like a
it's getting very graphic.
You want it to be messy.
I'm gonna eat a Philly cheesesteak. I'm gonna eat a pizza and the crust. Oh,
wow!
And then I'm gonna load up that diaper and leave it on my porch, and in a box, of course, well packaged. And then be sure that when they open it, that the liner, everything inside, they would be touching my caca. It's not a good practical joke unless they touch the caca. Or they open it up in their car and the caca gets all over the car.
Or it's on a sensitive timer where when you pop open the thing, it explodes.
That's right. And all for that. I think people that are mischievous and trying to steal shit should not necessarily die. That's a bit, who am I? I'm not God. But I think they should suffer.
I'm not saying don't kill them.
No, I'm just saying that something so bad should happen to them that they'll remember it for the rest of their life.
I got no sympathy for people ripping off your packages that you order with your hard-earned money that you work for. I got no sympathy for you if something bad happens.
I don't. And Tom, you're an inventive person. What would you be able to concoct a booby-trapped bait package for your porch pirates?
Whatever happened to I think electroshock. Like if you, like you charge up the box and you crank up the voltage like your lady friend in Russia.
Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot. A little pain never killed anybody, but I like it.
I like that. I like what they do. I like what the Cubans do with the, they got this new,
radio wave, microwave.
Yeah, radio. This name's microwave weapon. Have you heard of that, James?
Yeah, yeah.
No, I haven't, man.
Yeah, these spies are doing these microwave voodoo on you where they emit microwave waves and it messes you up.
The Chinese government has actually been accused of it and using it with troops in India on the border there.
Yes, 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 yes. Those are good too. That'd be preferable, but I think it's more practical and more accessible. The electrical shock that I
like it. I like it a lot, man.
Yeah, I think that's always good fun. You know what I mean?
I don't like the defecation. It's too filthy.
Yeah, but that's why
it's not for me. Like drippings.
I always thought it'd be good, like when you were dealing with, like, let's say, things like in the bad, like, you know, if you get into, like, when the riots are going on, people are fighting each other in the streets. I don't like when the kid shot that kid, you know, the person, and, you know, trying to protect. I think we should have poison darts, but they're not poison that kill you, but they make you have diarrhea for a week.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah.
You know what we have? You know what we have also? We have those, you know, you probably know the name, Doug. Like, it almost happened where they used those heat sensors. I don't know what the name of that one is, but we got some cool weapons out there.
Yeah.
It's called temporary herp. It's not
Yeah. So you feel like you're on fire and you're running away and you have to leave.
That's what the part of that microwave thing was. People felt their skin burning and they didn't. There was a big effect. And then the ones in Cuba, they used the one that it's the waves to affect the mind.
There's different types.
That's ingenious, man.
We got to share microwave stories.
Yeah, that's it. I'm telling you. That or they just play some old, Engelbert Humperdinck records.
Oh, by the way, Humperdinck's James the Shame. That guy fathered children.
Yes, he did.
Like no one's business. Lawsuits and paternity tests galore.
Engelbert Humperdinck.
The original OG.
Yeah, dude. And you know, he's the OG because somebody suggested for him to change that name.
Gotcha.
You know.
Well, he put the hump in Humperdinck.
He was definitely a hump. We got two Santa stories. This is kind of funny. Those naughty Santa cookies are selling out fast in Minnesota Target stores. We can't show you that, but basically there's three cookies. Like you get the Oreos. James, I'll probably talk any more about these cookies, but
I'm listening. I'm very intensely listening.
All right. When you get these little packages of cookies, you got one, like two cookies, and then two cookies. There's a package of six or nine. What is that?
Six.
And then, so the first cookies has this round cookie with Santa's face.
Yeah.
The hat, you know. The second cookie is, I guess, of his midsection. It's kind of like a snowman effect. So,
yeah.
The midsection has three buttons on a red top, and then he's got his white flurry belt, you know, on the bottom part of the cookie. White frosting's delicious. Yeah. And then the bottom, the third cookie.
Yes.
Has a picture of just his boots going like that. And then, of course, his boots are straight because Santa had good posture. And then at the top, it had the fur around the boot.
So yes. Yes.
You have a boot that, for all intents and purposes, looks like a penis.
Got it.
And oddly enough, most of the women ate those first.
Understood.
And I'm glad. And some of the husbands were pretty upset that they didn't understand why.
Got it.
The cookie stirred up quite the story over the weekend as Santa's boots, which for some people resembled a penis, and you know what those people are. Congressman. went viral enough across the country to Target actually issued statements saying people aren't complaining. People like their dick boots.
Well, you know what? To each his own. I don't judge.
Yeah. I mean, listen, the things that bug me back in the day, remember when they had the clothing lines had the thing, the smartest little monkey. Remember that?
You're talking about, yes. Was that H&M or was that?
MH or whatever that company.
Yeah,
and they had this smartest little monkey and had a kid. I mean, what the fuck? You know, like, did somebody put this through somebody first? You know what I mean?
I had to think that was a guy going, hey, this is going to be hilarious.
Right.
This is going to be so damn funny. Watch this, Johnny. Watch it. Give it a month. Yeah.
Somebody who has something on his superior employee or employer that, you know, yes. You can fire me.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm on my way out. This is how I quit.
I'll tell your wife how you're banging the secretary.
There you go.
Our last story of the day, by the way, COVID-19, coronavirus, Santa Claus infects dozens at Belgium Age Care Home.
So he went to the the home, like he probably does every year, trying to, you know, entertain them. And Santa had COVID, didn't know, and infected all the older people that are there.
Yeah. So when people sat on his lap, they go, "What do you want for Christmas, Billy?" "I want a new car and some pills for my pain." "Well, bitch, you're going to get COVID."
"What do you want for Christmas?" "A vaccine, you son of a bitch." God dang it.
I wrote Remdesivir.
Yes.
The coronavirus pandemic, blah, blah, blah. There are now 75 cases linked to Hemelrich Aged Care Home, the Belgian town of Mold, just days after the super spreader Santa attended this. St. Nicholas attended the home last weekend, going on to infect 14 staff members and 61 residents. Well, at least he made his rounds.
Well, shit. Was it an orgy or was it? Yeah. God dang it.
Yeah, Santa Claus was spreading the cheer.
That Santa put the F-U in fun.
Yeah. So the age home initially said masks were worn, but.
I don't know if I believe that.
Yeah. Well, sometimes if you're in a closed area, I know people that caught it. That I know a guy who's really a mask guy. He caught it, but he's in the car. If you're in the car with somebody.
If you're in that close quarters, breathing that same air for that long.
Not gonna
fucking
help.
That's where those
discussions get. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're just passing along somebody and you're in a room and you wear it and you're there for a couple seconds, it may help. But if you're standing there for a half hour and you're laughing and you're yodeling and shit, you know, someone's going to catch COVID. Do you have any idea how you caught it, by the way?
Yodeling. with some dude yodeling. We were just having, you know, how we do. And I got it.
With a mask on. You can't yodel with a mask on.
Yeah, you would pass out. You really would.
I believe in personal freedom, but I do wear them, and it was, you know, just for.
So do I. I'm not an asshole about it, but we tried to. Brother, I did well for 9 months, didn't get COVID, and we tried, me and my wife, to figure out where we got it. And when we got together in Thanksgiving, it was just, I usually, you know me, I'm a big cooker. I usually cook for 40 people. It wasn't that. We only got together with my family, my wife and my four kids, her mother, her aunt, her sister. Her sister even got tested to come to Thanksgiving.
Right.
So we wouldn't have it.
Now, did anybody else besides your wife get it from that party? From you?
Her mom got it, her sister got it, all my kids got it, and I got it.
And was anybody else really bad shape from it?
Her mother. I really do believe, dude, it's a sickness for people who are older. My kids got it 2 days, brother, they were back on their feet, nothing happened.
Yeah, nothing. You know, now you know you're never gonna hear the end of this shit. I mean,
I know. Brother, I haven't heard the end of this shit. Yes. so her mom had it bad. Her mom had it real bad.
Your husband gave me that COVID.
Yeah, remember that? Remember when you gave me COVID? Can I have a diamond?
Yeah.
Can I? That's how that works.
Somebody sent her a change of beneficiary form the next day.
I saw some funny stuff going on.
Yeah. What are we talking about? So I forgot what the point was, but where were we at with the COVID thing? And you still are COVID free. By the way, you have antibodies now for a while, so.
90 days, I hear. So I'm going around. That's what they say. 90 days. I can't get it.
Yeah, you should be fine. After that, like I tested antibodies, and now I no longer have antibodies.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So now
that sucks.
That's why
I will tell people, after having COVID and I did not have a pleasant experience, be safe.
Yeah.
If whatever precaution you can take, it's worth it because,
Tommy, you don't wear a mask, or do you wear a mask? How are you about that? Are you?
I treat my mask like I treat my condoms. I poke holes in them.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. That's a bold statement. And I like that. And I respect it, Tommy.
You couldn't have caught COVID from me. I had a mask on.
I had a mask. But I can see your tongue. It doesn't matter.
Dude, listen, I can't get anywhere without a mask. Even if I didn't want to wear it.
It's true. So that's absolutely true.
It doesn't make it, whether I'm for it or against it, doesn't make it difference. And I've read, and they showed photos. There was like a infrared thing. You know what's the worst? The worst between a non-mask and the mask? A mishandled mask.
Yeah.
Yes.
It squirts the thing and crazy. Okay. Without a mask, the liquid goes vertical. No, horizontal. If you wear a mask, and it depends what mask you're wearing. No two masks are alike.
Right.
Yeah, we've learned that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So with a mask, if you're wearing a mask, you still get it because instead of shooting straight in your droplets, they shoot up and it comes through and shoots down through your nose. But there's still particles in there. It goes up instead of directly to your face, but it's still sprouting.
Yeah.
Yes.
The mishandled mask is like a game of laser tag. Shooting all over the place. Wild. Yeah. Random.
Yes.
Yeah. Mishandled mask. And once you touch your mask, it's already unsanitized.
Or you put it on the table in public.
Touch your mask. Once you touch your mask, it's contaminated with something, with the bacteria on your hands at the very least. And most people get it from the grocery store.
That is a common place that you can pick it up because people are handling everything in a grocery store and putting it back down. And you're right behind them. Yeah.
You just got to remember to always keep your hands. You can't touch your face and shit.
It goes on your clothes. It goes on your shoes. You got to take off your shoes. I have a solution. Everyone wear a hazmat suit.
Yeah.
Or order food through Amazon.
We wore a hat, we'll have designer Ralph Lauren hazmat suit. And tailored to your body and sleek. It'd be a fashion show.
Well, I don't know.
There would be no more lockdowns.
Nope.
Yeah. You'd be able to walk willy-nilly.
Yep.
Well, I think that if there was somebody, I think it was on Facebook or Instagram, they had this company, like it goes over the top part of your body. It looks like you have like a mailbox on you. And then you got the tent that you're in, and then, you could speak in it, and you got all the shit, so you basically have your own little atmosphere.
There you go.
And you look, like I said, you look like a parking meter. Well, listen, guys, I'm so glad, first of all, James, you survived the COVID, and you made
it. Thank you.
And
we're fellow survivors.
That's right. Well,
we are.
You're on the front line. I was somewhere in the warehouse.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. That was true, man.
I was in the kitchen or something in the war. Yeah. Front line when it came to that.
Yeah.
And Tommy, of course, glad you haven't got it and you won't get it because you're Tommy.
Stay safe, Tommy.
Listen. I mean, as a rugged road warrior, I've been exposed to all types of undesirables after the show, before the show, the planes, the filth, the muck. So what I'm saying is there's obstacles for the virus to penetrate.
There you go.
You have a hardened shell, my friend.
Yes.
Well, guys, happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you both. Thank you.
So much a pleasure getting to know you, Tommy.
Nice seeing you, James.
Hey, man. Dougie, as always, man. Thank you, man. Appreciate you.
Pleasure, D.
Wake up.